chapter 11. And as we move into this chapter, then we should be able to at least get a really good view of what it is that God wants done for his family. Because if we don't realize that God is dealing with the family in this particular passage, then I've been failing over the last few months bringing in the family of God. Our title for tonight will be, God Will Purge the Family. God will purge the family. Some will be strong in victory. Some will be strong in victory. And I say it that way because all of the time the victory that is seen is not the victory that we want. I'm going to give you an illustration for free. We know Jesus was victorious, am I correct? But who did he kill? Who did he fight? Yet we know Joshua was victorious. We know James, the brother of John, was victorious. And yet, he got his head cut off. Hebrews chapter 11 says some had victory. They were sawn asunder when wandered in sheepskin and goatskin. Said the world wasn't even worthy of them. In this particular passage, I'm moving down. And again, as being students of the word, understand that I am fully aware, more than I probably would like to be, that there are a lot of differing views of how this is fitted out. I'll throw a couple out. Some actually feel that this is going to be dealing with what is fulfilled by Antiochus Epiphanes, and some seemingly go straight to what is called Antichrist. So in order to deal with this, let's lay out a case of things that are non-negotiable so that we can at least look at this passage and glean something from it. Because the Bible teaches us explicitly in the 15th chapter of Romans in the 4th verse, whatever is written aforetime was written for our learning. And if we don't get any learning out of it, we've just gone through some scriptures and I don't believe that's what God wants. Daniel 11 and in the 30th verse where it says, the ships from Kittim will come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. We've already talked that we know that the king of the north, and for those that if there are some that joined us that haven't been with us before, this passage is talking about the area in Palestine or the area, let's just say not only Palestine, but going back toward Persia and down to Egypt. The one that in the north are going to be the Seleucids and the Antiochus, the ones that are named Antiochus. There are going to be about, I think, 13 of them named Antiochus. And then they're going to be in the south, the Ptolemies. I told you a way to remember the south and the north is to think about a bathroom. The Ptolemies start with a P, P-T, and they think of potty. The potty is down low in the bathroom. I promise you, if it's built correctly, the potty is lower than the sink. The Seleucids, the ones that are Antiochus, they are the ones that's up like the sink. So if you want to think about the north, it's up high, the south is down low. So here we have him. He's going. He's got an indignation against the Holy Covenant. The Holy Covenant are going to be dealing with the people that love God. It says, so shall he do. We're talking about here the king of the north, Antioch Epiphanes, according to history. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. You see, when we look at our titles, that God is going to purge his family and give his family victory, there's a thing that goes on in the world. It has not just started at this particular time. It also went on during the days when Moses went up into the mountain and there was a mixed multitude that did not want to follow God and his word, like he said, because they said, the man Moses is gone. And Aaron built a calf. The people that followed God in Deuteronomy, it's Numbers 24 and 25, what did they do? They mixed with the Midianites. We see the same thing happening when Ahab married Jezebel. Here we see that the family of God often become tolerant of things that goes against God's word, and usually they'll do it by either governmental control, governmental persuasion, cultural persuasion, people that seem to have more than they do, and they will do it. In this particular case, it says he'll have indignation against the Holy Covenant, and it says, so shall he do, and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. And his arm shall stand on his part, and he shall profane the sanctuary of strength, and take away the daily sacrifice, and shall place the abomination that maketh the desolate. We can look at this particular passage and know that Daniel is going to know that the daily sacrifice is going to be taken away. And this is going to be a problem because God had taught them. We've gone through the book of Leviticus. We've gone through the book of Exodus. I've talked about things in the book of Numbers where there's a morning and an evening sacrifice that goes to God perpetually. We've seen that Daniel would pray three times a day. He knew which time there were other sacrifices that took place. And he said, this is going to stop. The worship, the idea of turning one's face to God. Somebody say, well, Tim, why do you say turning their face to God? They're supposed to be back in the land at this particular time. You can be in what is called a house of God. You can be in what is called Jerusalem, and your face not be toward God. Somebody say, Tim, I don't believe you. Then what was that we were reading when we were in the book of Ezekiel? When the men had their backs turned, and the women were weeping for Tammuz. So he'll stop the daily sacrifice and place in the abomination that makes desolate. Now, we know that our Lord talked about that. But what in particular can we see from history? Because if he said there was an abomination that's spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that is what's spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Have we ever seen that kind of thing shown before? I've talked to you all before and told you that when Jesus talks about an abomination that makes desolate, I said I believe explicitly and I believe fully that that same thing takes place more than one time. Well, let me read to you something that I have pulled up from my studies. And this is what Gary was asking me about the other night. He said, are you going to read some of the Maccabees? Yes, I am. The Maccabees, if there are some that have joined us tonight, is going to give us a history of what happened usually around 200 and something, what we call B.C., down at least to 100 and something B.C., during the time that most people have no clue about, but is very important for us as we go and try to learn what is called the New Testament. Listen to some of the things that's done at this particular time that brings about tolerance. I'm in 1 and 44, 1 Maccabees. For the king, are you there for me, Ann? I'm looking at you, looking at stuff. I don't know. It says, and the king sent letters by messengers to Jerusalem and to the cities of Judah that they should follow strange laws of the land and forbid burnt offerings and sacrifice and drink offerings. Now, we know that burnt offerings are the one that's called a holah. You burn the whole thing except for the part that is used for refuge, and it goes up. If it's acceptable, that animal in your place ascends into the presence of God because sin has to be dealt with. You cannot go into the presence of God, not judge. When the transference takes place, then that animal is just an animal that's burned. The smoke goes up in the presence of God for you. Then it says sacrifice. Sacrifices that individuals offer, whether or not it's a meal offering, what is called a minkah, or a peace offering, or an offering that you vow, and the drink offerings. Most people don't know that they offered wine to the Lord because, you know, their churches have told them differently. But they offer drink offerings in the temple. But he said, we're going to forbid all of those that they should profane the Sabbath. Now, you're profaning the Sabbath, the days that God set up, and the festival days, the Moedim. It says, and pollute the sanctuary and holy people, and set up altars, not the altar that God said, and set up altars and groves and chapels of idols and sacrifice swine's flesh. Yes. And unclean beast, that they should also lead their children uncircumcised, and make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanness and profanation. That's a big word for being profane. To the end that they may forget the law and change all the ordinances. These are things that God is allowing to take place in the family, in the children of Israel, because they did not learn to love God. They did not learn to use His Word as the very thing that would make them different, as Deuteronomy chapter 4 said, that nations would come and learn from you. You didn't teach your children as they grew up and they went by the way. You violated all of the things that He said would bring curses, Deuteronomy 28. So what you ended up doing is now you have been able to come back to the land, but you didn't come back with the right heart, as was told that you could come back and you would have peace. Obviously, you went back with the wrong attitude, and now you are being purged. In other words, how do you purge gold? How do you purge silver? With heat. And it says to the end, this tolerance, this thing that is coming on, this king, this governmental official, Antiochus, the one from the north, is trying to remove the things of God that makes the distinctions, remove the things of God that is making the people what God would want them to be. And I will declare to you before I move on further in this, this is what our government does. This is what all governments does, will do. They will move people away because man wants to be God in man's life. I will say, except, at least for right now, the president of Uganda. And it says, to the end that they may forget the law and change the ordinance, and whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said, should die. 1 Maccabees 1:51. In the selfsame manner wrote he the whole kingdom and appointed overseers over all the people, commanding in the cities of Judah, sacrificed city by city, that many of the people were gathered unto them, to wit, everyone, it didn't say it this many times, I said it, forsook the law, and so they committed evils in the land, and drove the Israelites into sacred places, even whithersoever they could flee or secure. Now, these are the ones that God had told them in Leviticus 26, in about the first 9 verses, if you follow me, if you keep my commandments, if you keep my ordinance, if you keep my sacrifices, you will never be driven out of the land. You will have peace, you will have abundance, etc. Let me move on, because we've taught Leviticus 26 a lot of times. Verse 54, now on the 15th day of the month, Kaslu, in the 145th year, well, it says, and 145th year, they set up an abomination of desolation upon the altar, and builded idol altars throughout the city of Judah on every side, and burnt incense at the doors of their houses and streets. And when they had rent in pieces the books of the law, which they found, they burnt them with fire. What should be taking place in a situation like this is what happened when Paul went and preached to the Ephesians. And when Paul preached to the Ephesians, they took their magical books and they took the books of divination and they made a big bonfire and burned those. I will submit to you that the demon of hell and that Satan and those that follow him don't want God's law to expose their wickedness and their ungodliness. And the family is now being purged, because now you are either going to have to fight for what God has, or you're going to have to go in with the overthrow of the judgment that's going to surely come on the wicked. And that's not all of it. Listen to the 57th verse. And wheresoever was found with any, the book of the testament, or if any consented to the law, the king's commandment was that they should be put to death. I will submit to you that when this kind of situation takes place, this is the time when the individuals will begin to see and they will begin to know who it is that is going to stand with the Lord God Almighty. But this was a situation that never should have had to take place, But it had to take place because God will be full. He will always fulfill His word. So now let's go back when it says, back in Daniel 11, where it says, they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. We know that, know anything about history, that Herod put an enzyme on top of the temple, the one that he helped, the one that had been made that they rebuilt, the one that he expanded, he put the Roman enzyme on it. We realize that Titus brought his in there. And so we realize there are other things that took place, especially when the temple was destroyed, how they came in and brought their dirt and their mess. So as we said before, the way it seems that history does is like a tire. I'm glad you gave me that illustration. You know, you can take a mark on a tire and put a red mark on a tire, and you can watch it move slowly, and that tire will hit in one place, it'll roll forward and hit somewhere else. It's the same red mark, but it's moving further along. Often, it's the same ungodly thing that's happening, but it's different people carrying it out. Verse 32. And such is the wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. When a people that's supposed to be the family of God allow a king, this was a king doing this, a king, a president, a governor, a mayor, someone you're in love with, etc. If you allow someone by advantage of flatteries that cause you to be tolerant and accepting of things that are ungodly, often it may come out first, let's just be tolerant. Well, tolerant mean I don't like something like a toothache, but I tolerate it because maybe I don't have the money to get it fixed. Or I tolerate it because it has an abscess and the dentist will not help me with it. So I'll tolerate it until I can get it fixed. Well, when it comes to things that are ungodly, first, they want to tell you, I've watched in my lifetime tolerance. Then I watch acceptance. Then I watch them tell you to celebrate. So we can, instead of calling things often wicked, we'll call it diversity. We may say that this culture is diverse from ours. Some cultures are ungodly. That's what the king of Uganda said. For the last 50 years, the president, the last 50 years, our leaders have shed innocent blood. We've done debauchery. We have done witchcraft, etc. And we in America would say over the last 50 years before he did this, that we are supposed to celebrate diversity. We can't celebrate everything as the children of the living God. God will purge us. I can't celebrate that which is ungodly. I celebrate his repentance. Verse 32, and such that do wickedly against the covenant, they shall corrupt by flatteries. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do. See that word exploits? It's in mighty italics, isn't it? That means that word is not in your Bible behind the English. But where you will get the strength of what that word is talking about in the word do, the word is asa. And this is talking about what they will be able to perform or how they will act. So the exploits, although it's not there, it gives you a clue that they're going to do something magnificent. So let's go and let's see what kind of stuff that they did. Let's see what kind of magnificence that they did. I think it's good for me sometimes to just go on and read some of this stuff, because what's happening is, in this particular passage, we're going to get a chance to see how many were purged, and we'll get a chance to see how some of them were able to come out and be victorious. Listen to what I have here. If I'm not mistaken, I want to start maybe in 1 Maccabees. That's where I'm going to be. I'm going to open that back up. 1 Maccabees, and it's going to be, I'm going to start at the 21st verse. That's where I'm going to start. That'll help me out. It says, so when Antiochus had carried out of the temple 1,800 talents. Now, I've skipped some of the things that are in the Maccabees to show you now he's robbing the temple of God. Because if I read all of the Maccabees, you get tired. So when Antiochus had carried out of the temple 1,800 talents, he departed in all haste to Antiochia, winging in his pride to make the land navigable and the sea passable by foot. Such haughtiness of mind. and he left governors to vex the nation at Jerusalem. Philip, and for his country, a Phrygian, and for manners of more barbarous than he set them there at Gerizim. Andronicus, and besides Menelaus, who was worse than the rest, and they bear heavy on the land and over the citizens, having malicious mind against the countrymen of the Jews. In other words, God is allowing the family to be purged. They wouldn't obey. They wouldn't do what he said. He had promised them that if they didn't, this is what would happen. Now, they had already been carried out of the land, and you come back home with the same mess? You think because God delivers you and saves you that you can live and do any way you want to and God's hand is tied? He doesn't change, Malachi 3:6 says. So here's a family that was brought back, and we read all the magnificent promises that God said he had for them in Ezekiel. He said in the 36th chapter, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. Ezekiel 37, I'll bring your dead bones back to life. I'll give you a place for your temple to be. And look at how you're going to treat me. 24, he sent also that detestable ringleader, Apollonius. If you notice these names, these are Greek names because you have people that have the Greek culture, because Alexander is the one that conquered and the one that's in the north of Seleucus and Antiochus and the ones at the bottom of Ptolemais. Those are Greek kind of people. You don't see names like this usually in the Bible until you get to the New Testament. It says Apollonius with an army of 22,000 commanded him to slay all those that were in the best of their age, to sell the women and the younger sort, who come into Jerusalem and pretending peace, remember flatteries, pretending peace, did forbear unto the holy day of Sabbath. When the Jews keeping the holy days, he commanded his men to arm themselves, so they slew all of them that were gone celebrating the Sabbath, running through the city with weapons, and slew great multitudes. But Judas Maccabeus, with nine others thereabout, withdrew themselves into the wilderness and lived in the mountains after the manner of beasts with his company, who fed on herbs continually, lest they should be partakers of the pollution. God will purge. Here are some people that we saw that died. Here are some that we saw that fled. But we see that the ones that fled is so that we wouldn't be with the pollution. But we wouldn't have to flee if we had let God purge us with his word. Can I use my preach voice just a minute? Because I keep holding back. God would not have to purge us with the rod of iron, with the judgment of men, with the things that come upon this life, if we would allow him to purge us with his word. But when you won't let his word purge you, he's not through. And if his word can't purge you, and if the judgment of other nations or governments or other things that come against you can't purge you, then he can break you. What do you mean, Tim? The Bible talk about the Lord Jesus being a stone of stumbling. To those that fall on him, they get broken. That's when you need to be broken, so you're not so haughty. But Lord, if he has to fall on you, that stone fall on you, you'll ground into powder. The sixth chapter. Not long after this, the king sent an old man of Athens to compel the Jews to depart from their laws of their fathers, not to live after the laws of God, and to pollute the temple in Jerusalem, and to call it the temple of Jupiter, Olympus, and Gerizim. I want to give you this for free. Can you see why Paul got upset, Paul and Barnabas, when they started calling him Jupiter? He got one of them Hermes and one of them Jupiter. Paul is fully aware that this is the kind of thing you always want to do. You always, Satan, want to attribute to God something to another deity, something idolatrous. And Paul said, not so, not so, not so. Just like you try to do it to that temple, now you're trying to let these people flatter us and apply it to us. I just want to give you that for free. And it says, to the temple of Jupiter and Olympus and Gerizim, and Jupiter, the defender of strangers, and they did desire that, is written a little differently, as they did desire that dwelt in that place. And the coming of this mischief was sore and grievous upon the people, for the temple was filled with riot, and reveling by the Gentile who dallied with harlots and had to do with the women within the circuit of the holy places, within the circuit of the holy places, and besides those things which are not lawful. The altar was filled with profane things which the law forbiddeth. I was going to read it. I'm just going to tell you now. They brought in the Feast of Bacchus in there. They celebrated the Feast of Bacchus. When they celebrated the Feast of Bacchus, men would lay with men, women would lay with women, and they would have all types of ungodly sex. They would worship the phallus. If you don't know what the phallus is, I'll spell it so you can look it up. I don't know why I don't want to tell you what it is right now. Sometime I will. P-H-A-L-L-U-S. Now, in the nicest way I can say, it's the worship of the male genital. And it was all about that in the temple. And they were celebrating this. And God wouldn't even allow the priest to walk around without certain underwear on, because if you expose yourself, I'd kill you. Well, this is what happened. God is having to purge because people are thinking that these things are defiled. No, you defile the temple and God lets you see the state that it's in. Just like when we have ungodly laws placed upon us, when we have ungodly regulations placed upon us, and things that we are being told to do by different ones in government or high officials, a lot of times it's because we already been doing something. God said, quit doing the facade. Let's let you see where it is so that I can purge it. Bless his mighty name. It says the altar was also filled with profane things which the law forbidden. It says neither was it lawful for a man to keep the Sabbath day or ancient feasts or to profess himself to be a Jew. Let me tell you one other thing about this. There are countries right now that if you go and you try to have an assembly or what they call a church meeting, you get put to death. In Pakistan, people get killed. Sometimes people get killed in China. And so what happens is a lot of times we don't think that thing can ever come to America. But don't be fooled. It can happen within a year. There have been men that have been locked up just because they preached the book of Romans, chapter 1. Yes, they have. I think in Philadelphia, but in Pennsylvania there was a man. They get locked up sometime in Canada for the same thing. Let me read some more of this Maccabees. And it says in 7, and the day of the king's birth, every month, they were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifices when the feast of Bacchus was kept. The Jews were compelled to go in procession to the feast of Bacchus carrying ivy. Moreover, they went out a decree to the neighbor city and to the heathen by the suggestion of Ptolemy. He's in the south of an Egyptian. One of those that came from Alexander, one of the four heads that came off of the beast, it says, by suggestion of Ptolemy against the Jews, that they should observe the same fashions and be partakers of the sacrifices. Can you see, first we tolerate? Can you see acceptance? Can you see now celebrate it? Lord have mercy, we better realize, we better let God's word purge us, or there's another way he can purge, or the wrath of God can come on us. 9, and whosoever would not conform themselves after the manner of the Gentiles should be put to death. Then might a man have been seen in present misery. For there were women brought who had circumcised their children, whom when they have openly led around the city, that is to say it, when the women were obeyed, and they walked around the city, and this thing right here, it took me up too high, but I know how to get back to where I was. I ain't playing. Okay. This thing is too good for me to let it go. And it says, I'm back at 9, and they would not conform themselves to the manner of the Gentiles, but put to death, and a man might. I wanted 10. For there were women who had circumcised their children when they had openly led about the city's babies hanging from their breasts. They cast them down headlong off the wall. And I've explained to you all before, they would kill the babies if they were circumcised. They would hang them around the women's neck. And then after a while, you see them cast them headlong off the wall. And others, they had run into caves near, and they had to keep the Sabbath day secretly. Being discovered to Philip, listen, when he found out they were in caves secretly, they were all burnt together, because they made a conscious to help themselves for the honor of the most sacred days. What I'm saying is, this is a purgation. Those who will and those who want. And somebody would always feel like, well, if you love God, nothing will happen. Let me say, when God is doing what he is doing, when he is keeping his word, don't ever let yourself feel that God can't do what he's trying to do and that somebody can die. His own son died. James died. Peter died. Paul died. That doesn't mean you're going to hell because you die. But what happens is there are some things that the children of God have to be purged. And this is being shown. And Daniel is saying, wow. And it says they will do exploits. Go back. Are you there in where I was reading in Daniel? Okay, I'll read it. Because I stopped for a minute to show you some history. 32 of Daniel 11. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt themselves. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Well, I'm showing you some exploits where people allow themselves to be put to death. I'm showing you exploits where women, that they were strong enough that they still circumcised their children, yet their children were killed and they were thrown headlong. You see, that doesn't look like this exploit to people in this modern world. But for you to stand regardless in the midst, when you see Daniel have done it, that's standing strong. Now let's look at some other things where we can see some doing exploits on another manner. Because a lot of times people would think that the only time that somebody is really doing exploits is whenever they get what we call the victory. Well, I submit to you, there are times when you may not see somebody get the victory, but the victory is still being had. Why is that, Tim Merritt? This is because the individuals are standing for what God say, and when the individual stands for what God say, what ends up happening then, you get a chance to really walk with God and realize, am I ready? Am I ready to do this? Now let's look at 2 Maccabees, and I'll start at the 2 Maccabees 7. 2 Maccabees 7 is a little too far. I'll go 6 and 18. Eleazar, one of the chiefs, and it says, that's not good enough. 15 is better. Lest when they come to the height of sin, the old people will take vengeance on us. I know that sounds a bad part, but if I read everything, you'll be bored. 16, and therefore never withdraw his mercy from us, talking about God. And though he punish us with adversity, yet God does not forsake his people. But let this which we have spoken be a warning for us. Now we will come to the declaring of the matter in a few words. Eleazar, one of the principal of the scribes, an aged man, of well-favored countenance, was constrained to open his mouth and to eat swine's flesh. But he, choosing rather to die gloriously than to live stained with such an abomination, spit it forth, and he came into his own accord to the torment. As it behooved them to come, that are resolute to stand out against such things, as not for lawful for the love of life to be tested. But they that had the charge of that wicked feast, and that old acquaintance they had with the man, taking him aside, besought him to bring flesh of his own provision, such as was lawful for him to use, and to make it as if he did eat the flesh taken from the sacrifice commanded by the king, that so doing he might be delivered from death and from the old friendship with them in favor. But he began to consider discreetly, and as became his age and the excellency of his ancient years, that the honor of his gray head whereunto was come, and his most honest education from a child, or rather the holy law, made and given to him by God. Therefore he answered accordingly and willed them straightly to send him to the grave. In other words, I ain't going to pretend like I'm eating it. I'm a man that's got age and wisdom. Kill me. You're going to use me as a leader to get other people to go along with it. I will be purged by God this way. If the land need to be purged, if God need to let people see what happens whenever you all don't follow, he will purge his family. 24, for it becometh not our age, said he, in any wise to dissemble. Dissemble means to pretend like I'm something that I'm not. Whereby many young persons might think that Eleazar, being 80 and 10, were now gone to a strange religion. And so they, through mind hypocrisy and desire to live a little time, a moment longer, should be deceived by me. And I get a stain on my old age and make it abominable. Would to God that people start getting gray hair would think like that instead of becoming big time fools and whores. I tell you the truth. Give a man a little piece of Viagra and he don't care nothing about what God has to say. Let their little mouth get wicked and start finding fault and criticizing this man. Say, I don't want that stain on my old age. 26. But though for the present time should I be delivered from the punishment of men, yet should I not escape the hand of the Almighty. Listen to this. Neither alive nor dead. Wherefore now, manfully changing his life, I show myself as one as in my age require, and leave a notable example to such as be young, to die willingly and courageously for the honorable holy laws. Do you realize that there are some people, when you read the book of the Revelation, will be beheaded for the cause of God? And there will be souls under the altar, 6 and 9, that will say, look, how long, Lord? How long will it be before you would be? Until your brethren are killed as you were. But the ones under the altar, they are able to talk now. In other words, although they were killed, although they were beheaded, obviously their spirit was not beheaded. It says, and when he said these words, immediately he went to torment. They that led him changing the goodwill they bear him a little while, they before into hatred, because he foresaid the speeches and proceeded as they thought from a desperate mind. But when he was ready to die with stripes, he groaned and said, it is manifest unto the Lord that the holy knowledge, whereas I might be delivered from death, I will now endure sore pains, being beaten, but in soul I am well content to suffer these things, because I fear him. And thus the man died, leaving his death for an example of noble courage and a memorial of virtue, not only to the young man, but also all of his nation. He left one to me too. 2 Maccabees 7. And it came to pass also that 7 brethren with their mother were taken. Now this is one, Anne, that I was telling you about, that I just feel so obliged to read so that people can see that God will purge. We think a lot of times God is against us when things happen. Listen. And it came to pass that 7 brethren and their mother were taken and compelled by the king against the law to taste swine's flesh. Okay, I want to interject. These people were being purged by God. Who is going to stand? Who's going to take the test? But often we will buckle for our friendship. We'll buckle for our family. We'll buckle for our sexual pleasure, or to get vengeance on somebody, or to get a job. These people, swine's flesh. And they were tormented with scourges and whips. Scourges is something that don't just have one little whip on it. It has more than one, and sometimes it has little pieces of things in it. Now, this is a mother with her children. It didn't just say 7 brethren. It says 7 brothers and their mother. But one of them that spake first said thus, what would you ask or learn of us? We're ready to die rather than to transgress the laws of our father. Then the king, being in a rage, commanded pans and cauldrons to be made hot, which forthwith being heated, he commanded to cut out the tongue of him that spake first, and to cut off the uttermost parts of his body, and the rest of his brethren, and his mother looking on. Now, when he was thus maimed in all of his members, notice all of them, all right now, he commanded him, yet being alive, to be brought to the fire and to be fried in the pan. And as the vapor of the pan was for a space good dispersed, they exhorted one another with the mother to die manfully, saying thus, the Lord God looketh upon us in truth, and has comfort in for us. Moses in his song, which witnessed to their faces, declaring, and he shall be confident in his servants. So when the first was dead after this manner, they brought the second to make him a mocking stock. And when they had pulled off the skin of his head with his hair, they asked him, "Wilt thou eat, or will you be punished throughout every member of your body?" Purging. Oh my God, what we call Christianity. What we speak, name it and claim it and nab it and grab it, and how pitiful we must look before the saints that have gone before us. But he answered and said in his own language, "No." Wherefore he received the next torment in order as the former did. And when at last grasped, he said, "Thou like a fury takest us out of this present life, but the king of the world shall raise us up, who have died for his laws unto everlasting life." After him was the third made a mocking stock. When he is thus required, he put out his tongue, that right soon, holding forth his hand manfully and courageously, "These I had from heaven, and for his laws I despised them, from whom I hope to receive them again." What he is saying is that I despise a tongue that will keep me from going ahead and doing what's necessary. You want to use my tongue to make me go against God because I can live. I despise it. I got it from God one time. I can get it again. Bless his mighty everlasting name. Insomuch as the king and they that were with him marveled at the young man's courage, for that they he nothing regarded his pains. Now, when this man was dead also, they tormented and mangled the fourth in like manner. So when he was ready to die, he said thus, "It is good being put to death by men to look for hope from God, who to be raised again by him. As for thee, thou shalt have no resurrection to life." Afterward, they brought the fifth also and mangled him. He looked. Wait a minute. Then he looked unto the king and said, "Thou hast power over man. Thou art corruptible." Do you see this man would say that the king is wicked? We often don't want to say when a president or a king is wicked unless we don't like their political party. If all of them do wickedly, they're wicked. If it's your son that's doing wickedly, you wicked. If you look in the mirror and you're wicked, you're wicked. If it's your bishop, if it's your pastor, we need righteous judgment. This man in the face of death, he says, he looked on the king. To the king and says, "Thou have power over men. You are corruptible. Doest thou what thou wilt, yet think not that our nation is forsaken of God." See, they understood God is purging. "But abide a while, and behold, his great power, how he will torment thee and thy seed." After him they brought the sixth, who being ready to die, said, "Be not deceived without a cause, for we suffer these things for ourselves, have sinned against our God. Therefore marvelous things are done to us. But think not thou that thou hast taken in hand to strive against God, that thou shalt escape and be unpunished." But the mother, by the time women don't get the credit they need in the churches, but listen to in the book of the Maccabees. "But the mother was marvelous above all and worshipped." No, the mother was marvelous above all and worthy of all honorable memory. "And when she saw her seven sons slain, within the space of one day she bare it with good courage because of the hope that she had in the Lord. Yea, she exhorted every one of them in her own language, filled with courageous spirits and stirring of her womanish thoughts." That's womanish thoughts. "And with manly stomach." In other words, I'm a full woman. When it comes to courage, the men ain't got nothing over me. "And with a manly stomach," she said unto them, "I cannot tell you. I can tell you how you came from my womb. No, I cannot tell you how you came into my womb. For I neither gave you breath nor life, neither was it I that formed the members of every one of you. But doubtless the creator of the world, who formed the generation of man and have found out from the beginning of all things, will also of his own mercy give you breath and life again, as you now regard not your own self for his law's sake. And Antiochus, thinking himself despised, and suspecting it to be a reproachful speech, while the youngest was yet alive, did not only exhort him by words, but also assured him with oaths that he would make him rich and make him a happy man if he would turn from the laws of his father. In other words, when torture don't work, temptation. We better learn something from God. We better learn something about the plan of Satan. If I can't tempt you with fear, if I can't tempt you with something else, I know as long as I can move you from the steadfastness of God, I'll give you riches. What did Satan offer the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4? He said, I'll give you the kingdom of the world and all of it. It's been delivered to me. And it says, and that also he would take him for a friend and trust him with his affairs. In other words, you can move up in the kingdom with me. But when the young man would in no case hearken unto him, the king called his mother and exhorted her that she would counsel the young man to save his life. And when he had exhorted her with many words, she promised him that she would counsel her son. But she bowed herself toward him, laughing the cruel tyrant to scorn, spake in the country language on this manner, O my son, have pity upon me that bare thee 9 months in my womb, and gave thee suck 3 years, and nourished thee, and brought thee up unto this age, and endured the troubles of education. I beseech my son to look upon the heaven and the earth, and all that is therein, and consider that God made them of things that were not. And so was mankind made likewise. Fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of thy brethren, take death, that I may receive thee again in mercy with thy brethren. While she was yet speaking these words, the young man said, Whom wait ye for? I will not obey the king's commandment, but I will obey the commandment and the law given to our fathers by Moses. And thou hast been the author of all this mischief against the Hebrews. Shalt thou escape the hand of God? For we suffer because of our sins. The purging of God will do things to the family sometimes. Let us be purged by his word. This is some things that can happen over and over again, like that tire that I talked about. America is in line for some of this. Have mercy in the words of Gary Merritt. And though the living Lord be angry with us for a little while for our chastening and our correction, that's purging, yet shall he be at one again with his servants. But thou, O godless man, and all other most wicked, be not lifted up without a cause, nor puffed up in uncertain hopes, lifting thy hand against the servants of God. But thou hast not yet escaped the judgment of the Almighty God who sees all things. For our brethren, who have now suffered a short pain, are dead under God's covenant of everlasting life. But I, as my brethren, offer up my body, my life, for the laws of our fathers, beseeching God that he would speedily be merciful to our nations, and that by torments and plagues mayest confess that he alone is God, and that in me and my brethren the wrath of the Almighty, which is justly brought upon our nation, may cease. Then the king, being enraged, handed him worse than all the rest, and took it grievously that he mocked. So this man died undefiled. I want to die undefiled. I don't want to be beaten like this, but I want to die undefiled. Some of us get defiled with bubblegum stuff, little stuff. Pride, arrogance. Don't want to learn the word of God. Friends, family. And it says he died undefiled and put his whole trust in the Lord. Last of all, left all of the sons, the mother died. Let this be enough. Now I have spoken concerning the idolatrous feast and the extreme torches. Did I say that when Daniel said, those that know the Lord, they will do? If we say exploits, you would think killing people are exploits. These are exploits. I thought I was going to finish this chapter tonight, but have I bored you all with the stuff that the history?
No.
Okay, let's look at some more exploits on the other end. 2 Maccabees 8. Oh, let me let them ask. I'm going to take them off. I'm going to take them off lecture. Those of you all that are on the conference line, I need to know, have I bored you with this history?
No, sir.
Okay, then I'll put it back on lecture mode and we'll go some, just a little while longer, okay?
Lecture mode on.
2 Maccabees 8. Then Judas Maccabeus, when they were with him, went privately into the town. Now remember, we read earlier, they went into the woods and the wilderness and they ate herbs, etc., because they didn't want to be defiled. Okay, so here we come now. Then Judas Maccabeus and they that were with them went privately into towns, and they called their kinfolks together and took unto them all that continued in the Jews' religion and assembled about 6,000 men. And they called... this is getting good. And they called upon the Lord that he would look upon this people that were trodden down of all. Also that he would have pity on the profane and ungodly men. On the temple. I read that too fast. Pity on the temple, profaned of ungodly men. And that he would have compassion upon the city, sordid face, and make ready to be made even with the ground, and hear the blood that cried to him. They're going back to Genesis where Abel's blood cried, but if you don't know the scripture, you don't even know that they know that this is how you learn that blood can cry to God. And remember the wicked slaughter of harmless infants? If this man is praying about the blood of harmless infants, what about our nation, our president, Europe, and other nations that kill babies in the womb? This man said that something like genocide is deplorable. And we want to make it right and pay people for that. Let's get back to it. And the slaughter of harmless infants and the blasphemies committed against his name, and that he would show his hatred against the wicked. Now when Maccabeus and his company about him, he could not be withstood by the heathen, for the wrath of the Lord had turned into mercy. Lord have mercy. Therefore he came up unawares and burnt up towns and cities and got into his hand the most commodious of places and overcame and put to flight no small number of his enemies, but specially he took advantage of the night for such privy attempts, insomuch as the bruit of his manliness was spread everywhere. So when Philip saw that this man was increased by little, and that the things prospered with him still more and more, he wrote to Ptolemaeus, the governor of Calesia and Phoenix, to yield more aid to the king's affairs. Then, forthwith choosing a cantor, son of Ptolemaeus, and his friends, he sent unto him no fewer than 20,000 of all the nations unto him, to root out the whole generation of the Jews. And with them they joined Gregarius, a captain, who in the matters of war had great experience. So Nicanor, that word Nicanor is the same root where we get the word Nike, which means victory. So Nicanor undertook to make him so much money of the captive Jews to defray the tribute of 2,000 talents that the king was to pay to the Romans. Wherefore immediately he sent to the cities of the seacoast, proclaiming a sale of captive Jews and promising that they should have 40 and 10 bodies for 1 talent, not expecting the vengeance that was to follow upon him from the Almighty God. Let me explain what I just read. This man is boasting so much, we're going to have so many slaves that for 1 talent, you can have 90 men. Because we bold in our arrogance. Now when the word was brought to Judas of Nicanor's coming, and he had imparted unto those that were with him that the army was at hand, they that were fearful and distrusted the justice of God fled and conveyed themselves away. Others sold all that they had and left, and withal besought the Lord to deliver them from being sold by the wicked encounter before they met together. And if not for their own sake, for the covenants made with their fathers, and for his holy and glorious name's sake, by which they were called. 16. So Maccabeus called his men together to the number of 6,000, and exhorted them not to be stricken in terror of the enemy, nor to fear the great multitude of the heathen who came wrongfully against him, but to fight manfully. You know, there was a song when I was a boy, they used to say, fight manfully on, word dark passion subdue, look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. That song is Yield Not to Temptation. I wonder if the man that wrote that song, because I don't see that word manfully. I'm 51 years old. I hadn't seen that word used much. And it says, but to fight manfully and to set before their eyes the injury that they had unjustly done to the holy place and the cruel handling of the city, whereof they made a mockery, and had taken away the government of their forefathers. For they said, he trusts in their weapons and their boldness. But our confidence is in the Almighty God, who at a bet can cast down both them that come against us as all the world. Moreover, I want you all to hear this. This is how you do exploits. This is how God purges. Some were killed. Now I want you to see what God is getting ready to do here. Moreover, he recounted unto them what helps their forefathers had found, how they were delivered under Sennacherib. 185,000 perished. And he told them of the battle that they had in Babylon with the Galatians, how they came but 8,000 in all the business with 4,000 Macedonians, and that the Macedonians being perplexed, the 8,000 destroyed 120,000 because of the help that they had from heaven, and they received a great booty. Thus, when he had made them bold with these words and ready to die for the laws of their country, he divided his army into four parts and joined himself with his own brothers, leaders of them all, each Simon and Joseph and Jonathan, giving to each 1,500 men. Also, they appointed Eleazar to read the holy book. And when he had given the watchword, the help, when he had given this watchword, the help of God himself, leading the first band, he joined the battle of Nicanor. And with the help of the Almighty, they slew 9,000 of their enemies and wounded and maimed the most part of Nicanor's host and put them to flight and took their money and all that they had came to buy them and pursued them far, lacking time they returned, for it was day before the Sabbath that they would no longer pursue them. And when they had gathered their armor together, they spoiled their enemies. They occupied themselves about the Sabbath, yielding exceeding praise and thanks to the Lord who had preserved them that day. That was the beginning of the mercy distilling upon them. And after the Sabbath, when they had given part of the spoil to the maimed, to the widows, to the orphans, and the residue. Wouldn't it God that these big-time pastors, instead of getting jet after jet after jet after jet after jet, leave it alone, Tim, and the widows and the orphans and the residue, they divided themselves and their servants. And when this was done, they made a common place of supplication, and they besought the merciful Lord to be reconciled to his servants forever. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. We've been about an hour, and it looks like to me, it may not have been for me to milk hold no more than two verses, or really two, but it says, and the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. All exploits are not victories like that. Some exploits are to show you cannot do anything but kill the body, and that's all that you can do. I will show you who I fear. Some exploits are that we take and we are able to demolish the enemies of God. We're not through with this by a long shot, but we're going to stop here because I want us to understand God will purge. How did he purge this time? He purged one time by people standing. Not just men, but women. Don't just think that one mother is the one that stood. What about those who had their babies hung around their neck because we're going to do what we're supposed to do? And then others he purged by saying, be strong. Be valiant. Look at what God has done. Drive fear from your mind, from the enemy, from the wicked and the ungodly, and work with God Almighty and let Him give the victory. This is what the family needs to understand. When the family trusts God, God will purge. It's going to be purged. If the family don't trust God, it's going to be purged. Some will bow and buckle and lose everything, but some will stand strong. I pray that we taking a little excursion from what we have as the canon of Scripture to go into history will get enjoyment out of seeing what those who came before us have suffered and how they stood for the Lord and received good instruction and insight that our God doesn't change. Father of mercies of heaven and sky, I ask you by your might and by your sweet power to help us to understand you will purge the family. And as more atrocities come upon this world, other nations where people are being killed, even as I speak, women are being raped and want to hold on to you, where they are having their Bibles taken and some are being beheaded. Lord, we don't want this for our country, but Lord, when our country want to move you out of every facet of life, when the churches want to move you out of every facet of life and tell the people that you need to privatize it and don't tell the truth and don't speak up, it's coming. Lord, if we're not here, have mercy on those that have come after us that will suffer. If we are here, Lord, and the purging process take place of you cleansing the land, give us the mindset to realize that as Father God, if our life is taken, it doesn't mean that you don't love us. But a purging of the land is taking place, and the wicked have to fill up their full measure of wickedness until your wrath falls upon them. And Lord, if those that will stand and those that will make it to the end and fight with the Lord of hosts on the day that he comes and fight in Megiddo, great. But help us wherever we're found to be content. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. And even so, amen.